gavel open a work session. I will gavel open a work session of Senate Bill 5510, the Economic and Community Development Department, and we will do a carryover of those bills which we did not get to this morning, including House Bill 3905 and the public hearing and work session on the Employment Department grant, child care grant application, and we may get possibly to Senate Bill 973, I don't know. So we'll go ahead and start with Legislative Fiscal. Robin is representing Legislative Fiscal Office, and Susan Huerta is our assistant today.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have in front of you a fairly lengthy packet that walks through the recommendations on the Economic Development Department. I would like the agency to come forward to be available to answer questions on that, and the Department of Administrative Services, if they would.
Excuse me, Robin. One thought I had was also that it wouldn't hurt to go ahead and probably have just a brief overview on each of the seven or eight different items as we go through that as well,
okay.
The program services and so forth.
Well. If you would check, please, one set of the copies is missing page 3 of 4. So if you are missing page 3, if you would let me know. Set down.
Thank you. This is a whole new packet.
It's the same packet. It's just.
You got page 3.
Oh, it's reversed.
Okay. Oh.
It's reversed. As long as you've got it.
Thank you.
Program services, the basic recommendation, if you look page 2 of 4, the at the top of the page, the basic recommendations are to approve Policy Option Package 101, which provides lottery funds and federal funds and 9 FTEs for current service level related staffing for infrastructure brownfields and related service delivery programs, to deny Policy Option Package 102, which was an additional 7 FTE based on the governor's proposed $196 million in bonding. Approved Policy Option Package 105, which is 4 limited duration FTE that continues the Senate Bill 622 telecommunications infrastructure package, and that is funded through telecommunications fund. And a recommendation that we reverse the fund shift in Policy Option Package 090. If you recall, that fund shift transferred 24 positions from lottery funds to other funds, interest earnings on revolving loan funds. This will be partially offset by a $3.1 million reduction in debt service in the pass-through program, reflecting the reduction in the total bonding package. Approve a reduction of $4,297 in out-of-state travel, and then the budget based on those recommendations. For the community development program, the recommendations are to approve Policy Option Package 204, which is the federal funds for brownfields. Approve Policy Option Package 205, which is a reduction of $4 million in federal funds. That reflects a transfer of the Community Development Block Grant Rental Housing Rehabilitation Program to the Department of Housing and Community Services.
That is an actual transfer to the...
Yes. And then a couple of adjustments to the non-limited budget. One is a reduction of $65.6 million in non-limited other funds, bond proceeds to reduce the, to reflect the reduced bonding authority. And approve a package of $25.7 million for the Columbia River channel deepening and the $6.6 million shift from lottery funds to bonding and the estuary enhancement program.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson, directing.
Could I ask Ms. Lamont to go back up to policy option package 925? This includes ports improvement project of 670. Would you just refresh my memory what that is?
Yes, that's funding that was authorized in Senate Bill 710, and it's just a carry forward.
Thank you. Thank you.
Or a continuation of that. A recommended approval of policy option package 090. Basically, this is the lottery funds reduction that reflects what was discussed in the previous discussion about the 925-2, reducing direct lottery funds and shifting that to bonding. And then this, there's a direction that the agency not transfer $1.3 million in other funds to the Health Division. Again, that was part of the Governor's bonding fund shift plan that eliminated $1.3 million in general fund in the Health Division and shifted those costs onto interest earnings on revolving loan funds. Again, that was assuming the $196 million and the interest earnings that would be generated from that. I felt that there was a need to have this comment in the budget report so it's clear, because this is a revenue transfer, which we don't, you know, directly affect, so that it's clear what the direction to the agency is in terms of that revenue transfer. For the Tourism Commission, there's a technical adjustment to restore $44,507 in other funds that corrects an adjustment that was made in the governor's budget. A recommendation to deny policy option package 443. That's $1.6 million general fund and one FTE for the governor's agricultural tourism plan, which is
land Oregon.
It's that and more. That is that wasn't approved in the agriculture budget either. A reduction in out-of-state travel. No adjustments to film and video. The Arts Commission, a recommendation to deny policy option package 463, which was other funds for the Cultural Task Force from a general fund transfer from the Department of Administrative Services. That was not funded in the DAS budget, and the entire program has now been shifted to the Secretary of State. Approve a reduction of 212 in out-of-state travel. Approve a reduction of 3,949 general fund in services and supplies. This is the across-the-board reduction that the co-chairs have approved for all general fund budgets that are at or above the current service level. We shifted the Oregon Progress Board to the Department of Administrative Services. For the lottery pass-through program, this is primarily debt service on lottery-backed bonds, and there is a reduction of $3,118,214 to reflect the reduced bonding authority. And those are the general recommendations.
Mr. Chairman, I want to ask a question on the performance measures reporting in their corrective action on performance measures. I received a draft memo. They will go to their commission regarding a timeline in report of performance measures. And I know they will go to the commission in August. I just want to know if this report can be given to the emergency board on a quarterly basis. They're going to do it on a monthly basis in the corrective action memo I received. Robin, have you seen the corrective action memo?
I am not familiar with what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Scott, you are aware of the corrective action memo?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, the department back at the time we were working on the Secretary of State's performance or audit of our performance measures prepared a plan to respond to it that we worked on with Mike Greenfield that included some specific commitments about reporting or setting targets for benchmarks with our commission and doing really internal management reviews on a monthly basis and producing those things. So that's what it was. I think members of the subcommittee may have received copies. I really can't remember at the time. I know Senator Yee did, and we would certainly, it would be obviously very possible for us to submit that to the emergency board if you wish.
Maybe on a quarterly basis so we can see the progress. Mm-hmm. Let the record show Mr. Scott nodded his head. Does that need to be in a budget note?
No,
or in a narrative?
Because we can ask the staff to include that agreement in the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Do other committee members want a copy of the corrective action?
I think that would be helpful, and I do want to recognize Senator Yee. Senator Yee has acted at the direction of the chair as an ad hoc committee of one to assist us with the full-time equivalency number of positions as well. So I do acknowledge Senator Yee, and I think out of that, Senator Yee has provided us a memorandum under date of June 18, which we should each have. I've got my original copy up in my office, but Senator Yee, this has a group of assumptions in it that are no longer valid. Would you, relative to the full bonding and those kinds of things, do you want to make any comment relative to the balance of your findings?
Mr. Chair, I want to say I met with the department staff 8 to 9 times to try to understand the need for the different FTEs. I need more meetings, but since the budget is coming up today, I just wrote down what information I gathered. You know, I want to call your attention to the 12 field officers they have, and there are 2 vacancies in the managerial position, so I feel at least those 2 positions are not needed. And then I propose that regional officers be combined with community coordinators. I feel one person should be both community relationships and take care of the bond applications too. And then in the international trade division, I recommend that in Taiwan office, they have 3 people in the overseas office and they have 1 position in the Portland office. And I feel that they don't need 3 positions in the overseas office. The market has matured. There's no need to have 3 FTEs serving 22 million country, where in China they have 1.2 billion people and there is no FTE managing the trade. so I recommend that at least one from Taiwan office can be reviewed. And if you look at the return on investment of the China consultant, they reported 965,000 sales, although the verified sales is only 765,000. However, using the 965,000 sales at 5% profit and 6% income tax, you only receive $3,186 in return. So that's a 1% return on investment. So these are some of the highlights of my recommendation. My recommendation is we reduce 31 FTEs.
Senator Yee, you found that a number of those positions were vacant. But,
yes, and a number of them seem to need duplication of effort. So I have put that down in my report.
Have we, in our recommendation from Legislative Fiscal Office, taken into consideration any of the vacant positions that Senator Yee is discussing, Robin?
Yes, Mr. Chair, these are not permanent vacancies. Mm-hmm. That is, these are not positions that are being held open for a sustained period of time.
Temporary vacancy.
Yes. So, reflecting normal turnover, or reflecting maybe abnormal turnover, these are not permanent position vacancies reflecting a lack of need for staff.
Representative Johnson?
I'm just trying to understand that further. It's 31 positions.
We don't have 30, Representative Johnson, there aren't 31 vacancies. She referenced, Senator
right.
Yee referenced some vacancies in, mm-hmm. as part of her report.
That are included in her 31, and you're saying that all of those are just temporarily vacant, or?
Yes.
How long is temporary?
Well, it varies depending on their ability to fill the position.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
For the vacancies, are there active recruitments going on right now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, yes, we have one position we're stymied on because they've not been able to attract qualified applicants at the salary we're paying, and we just had to wash it out again, and I think we're milling around trying to decide what to do. But other than that, these are all very short-term vacancies.
To satisfy my curiosity, what position is that?
It's a position for an engineer who would review infrastructure projects and also work with the consulting engineering community to try to reduce the cost and increase the appropriateness of design. And apparently we haven't got the position graded at a level that will attract what we need.
Which division is that in?
That's in the program development team, Mr. Chair.
That's the staff engineer.
Yes.
Okay. And then thank you, Senator Yee, for the work which you've done on that, for your recommendations. I also acknowledge the work which has been done by Senator Farnell. Senator Farnell went through and took a look at travel, dues, subscriptions, personal services, overhead costs, and had recommended that we consider for this department in House Bill or Senate Bill 5510 reductions in travel and some of these other overhead items. We have only, in addition to the PERS, and then some savings through the crew chair on services and supplies, that portion of general fund which is used, we've only extracted this, that's my understanding, 1% of out-of-state travel and 1% in the services and supplies, is that correct?
1%, Mr. Chair, 1% in the services and supplies in the Arts Commission, which is the general fund budget.
Okay. And nothing on any lottery funds?
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Johnson's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had the opportunity to look at Senator Carno's memorandum, And I would be very interested to know whether or not there were any positive discussions around it. I was quite supportive of the direction that she was headed. And maybe an explanation from either Senator Carno or Ms. Lamont about what happened to the suggestions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm not aware of if any discussion that occurred involving that. I was not involved in any discussion. The one direction that I was given was that if there were to be reductions made in this budget, they needed to be programmatic. That is, that there be programs and services that are identified for reduction.
Yeah, excuse me.
Senator Clown.
And Robin, that was from the co-chairs, is that?
That was from a discussion with Mike, which I believe came from the co-chairs.
Thank you. I would just say that the recommendations that I made were signed off on by each member of this committee, and I do appreciate their support. I would like to ask, Robin, I'm trying to look through here, and I'm sure you're aware that each LFO officer lays everything out a little bit differently, and I'm trying to find in here. I see the 1% reduction in travel in the Tourism Commission, the Arts Commission. Where do I find it, like in the administrative end of the budget? And I was looking through here.
Yes, but Mr. Chair, Senator Carno, it's on page 2 of 4, the second bullet above item 2.
So when all funds, then that all funds is, can you give me a description of that?
Actually, it is broken out on the spreadsheet. Let me see if
that's
I can find it.
That's what I was trying to find it.
Let me find that for you. It's item 1 just above the, it's
which
on
page
8.
Okay.
And it's listed as one LFO recommendation.
It's on this one,
page 8, uh-huh. And it's identified as policy package 1.
And that is includes what was done in the
22.75.
That includes the tourism, or is that just the
administration? No, this is just for this
program
is
services.
For program services, and you'll find a similar adjustment for each of the program areas.
No, I hadn't. So I wanted to make sure that we had all of the questions answered.
Can I go? No, that's all right, Robin. If I can just have Robin help me some more on this, on the community development program.
Community development program.
We don't have that.
It has no travel. It's all program funding services.
Okay.
The next one would be the Tourism Commission, which is.
Yeah, I found that one.
Okay. And then there is no specific line item allocation to film and video. Film and video is just a grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is no reduction in the film and video allocation. So the next one that you would find would be the Arts Commission. And that is the 212 that you see on page 16.
Mm-hmm.
The Progress Board, we made the adjustments in the Progress Board budget prior to the transfer to that. So on page 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then pass-through programs has no travel. That's primarily debt service.
Which one?
Pass-through programs on
mm-hmm.
19.
Yes.
Relative then of legislative fiscal, the cultural task force, the $100,000 denial of the cultural task force tonight, some explanation of the position of the co-chairs.
Mr. Chair, that package has been deleted from both the Economic Development Department's budget and the budget for the Department of Administrative Services, and a bill that passed through that the committee yesterday or Saturday funds it in the Secretary of State's office.
Okay. That's a separate bill.
Thank you.
Is that the location of which we're transferring properties?
It's yes.
Okay. And so the cultural task force will no longer be part of the Arts Commission at this point. It's set up as a result of that new bill.
Yes, that's correct.
And then finally, Representative Smith had some issues on the ports earlier.
Correct.
Budget note?
I wanted to be able, if you remember, we passed a budget note for the Oregon Department of Transportation encouraging them to work with ports in their transportation issues. Well, ports also are a very good tool for delivering economic development tools and play a pivotal role in many counties in economic development, and I wanted to bring the same budget note with a slight modification to encourage the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department to work with ports and the ports Oregon Public Ports Association in the creation and development of their programs and policies.
And if you can get me a copy of that budget note and any modifications, I will run that past the co-chairs for approval.
Representative Johnson.
Well, I don't disagree in principle with what Representative Smith is suggesting. My curiosity is, why is it necessary? OEDD used to house ports. They have a liaison identified to ports. If anything, I think a person could argue that ports have had preferential treatment in some of the department's activities. And my curiosity is
crazy
why then we need to have a budget note directing the ports get consideration.
The rationale behind this is many times new programs are created, their rules are established, and I just want to ensure that ports who tend to be true economic development professionals throughout the state have a say in how those programs are implemented. I want to make sure as advisory committees are developed that ports also have a seat at the table. The issue is more of an issue with transportation than it is with economic development, but nonetheless, I wanted to make sure that ports were at the table.
Representative Johnson.
I'm absolutely unconvinced that that's necessary. I'd welcome hearing a response from the agency. Ports seem to be amply able to take care of themselves inside of the structure of the agency.
Scott?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, we have tried to be very committed to using ports, and we have a good deal of statutory direction to work with ports. At the same time, we would be very comfortable, I think, with that kind of direction, and it might help, be sure that we aren't overlooking any opportunities.
Do you have a proposed budget note, Representative Smith?
I will get it to you.
Okay.
To Robin,
yeah. Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I don't mean to be unduly argumentative about this, but if it's going to be ports, why not all special districts? There are other special districts that are uniquely positioned to help in the delivery of economic development activities, and members of the agency staff and I have gone round and round this session about the role that small water districts provide. It seems to me that if we're making individual accommodations for seats at the table, there are lots of folks that would like to be called out in a budget note for special consideration by the agency. One of my principal problems with the agency has been that it seems to be a culture of special accommodation. I would rather have objective, clear rules that allow everyone to come to the table with equal standing than to begin to segment out certain sectors that get preferential treatment either through statute or budget notes.
Mr. Scott, can you settle a squabble at the table up here for us, please? Throw some water in somebody's... No.
I just wanted...
Representative Smith was recognized.
I just want to point out to the good representative from St. Helens, many of us come to the legislature with certain backgrounds and things that are important to us. Sometimes it's aggregate. Sometimes it's poor, and sometimes we ask our colleagues to assist them in efforts. I don't think this will have a tremendously negative impact on the department, and yet it allows us to be able to assist our districts.
Final response, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and in acknowledgement of the special service that we all bring to our service here in the legislature, I would point out my 8 years as a port commissioner.
Thank you very much. With that, is Representative Patridge available? We could go into the work session portion of this, I guess, at this point. I still have some questions that I would like to address to the co-chairs, not having had the benefit of the full work out here. You've heard the recommendations, and the concern that I have is that we make sure that any of the other issues that we have to resolve relative to budget notes are addressed. Robin, do you have any feel? I know that you'd had previous discussion with Representative Smith.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I was not aware of this budget note, but I will ensure that the coaches see it and if there is approval or denial of that proposed note. Once I have
it. Okay. Representative Patridge now moves that we accept Legislative and Fiscal Office recommendation relative to Senate Bill 5510. Discussion. Representative Johnson.
Just a procedural question, Mr. Chair. It appears as though we're headed in a direction of accepting this legislative fiscal in blank. In other budgets, we have gone policy option by policy option, and I'm just trying to understand the process with which we're going to deal with this.
I'll be real frank with you. It comes to me from the co-chairs in blank. Without the benefit of the research work that Senator Farnell or Senator Yee has done, without the benefit of the input other than the many, many days of hearings which we have held. So based upon that, I think it's the desires of the co-chairs that we go ahead and move this in blank. And I think that relative to the special committee which we presently have, which deals with the capital construction and other oversight, they're prepared to go ahead and address some of the other concerns relative to and some of the concerns, for instance, that Senator or Representative Rangel had early on expressed, that we not go to the well for the total of the nearly $200 million in bonds for the community development portion of it. We're not doing that. This is limited to $51,200,000. Of those community development bonds. So I think that some of the discussion and some of the concerns have been taken into consideration. Follow-up, Representative Johnson?
Well, yes, given that this is a very severe departure from how we have been doing this, and I'm going to set that aside and just recognize it, there are a couple of these policy option packages that I can in no way support.
Okay, please, number
specifically,
eight.
Policy option package 925, and this is the money for the channel deepening, and I believe that also is being worked in the context of House Bill 2275.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, let me clarify what this is. To some extent, this is almost an unnecessary exercise on the part of this committee, but it was my intent that we ensure that the department's non-limited accounts, which by definition the legislature does not does not control how much is in that amount. It was my attempt to ensure that the legislature had a real clear picture of what the results of the decisions being made in 2275 are. So these adjustments are really technical adjustments that reflect the legislature's understanding of what the bond proceeds will be in the agency's budget.
So in the truest sense, Mr. Chair, you're saying this is not a typical policy option package as we have acted on individual policy option packages.
You are correct. I wanted to make sure that the non-limited funds were accurately reflected what was occurring, but it is not necessary for us to do
basically
that.
Basically allowing the authority, is that right?
This in no way affects the authority of the department or the amount that may actually end up being in that non-limited account. It is an attempt to make sure that their budget accurately reflects what we think is going to occur.
Okay.
That still being the case, I'd like it noted for the record, given the way that we've handled all of the rest of these, that I in no way offer by whatever vote I give today as a courtesy any support of policy option package 925.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. The record will report that Representative Johnson is a vehement no.
Thank you, sir.
As opposed to a regular no.
Thank you,
she has a lot of different no's. Aggressively no.
Yeah, vehemently no.
Further discussion relative to the motion to accept Representative Pathridge's motion relative to Senate Bill 5510. Representative Ringo is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of my problems with this department has been the degree in which job creation is in urban Oregon and not rural Oregon. As we all know, we need jobs in rural Oregon. In my part of Washington County, we don't want more jobs, at least not right now. And I am troubled by the agency's, inability to focus. I know they try. I know they try, but nevertheless, 60% of the jobs created are in urban Oregon. And for that reason, I would not vote in favor of the full budget as was presented. I think I will vote in favor of Senate Bill 5510, but I wanted to register my hesitation with this department.
Thank you. Representative Smith, you've been doing some work relative to the economic development for rural areas. I know that you had a work group that met as early as 6 o'clock yesterday morning.
Would you like me to share?
Just share, if you would, briefly. Just a quick report.
Real quick. We're trying to figure out how to bring the federal timber dollars to our rural and remote communities as defined by the federal government, and to also find the appropriation to go with that. The way the definition is going to be created, however, is it will allow our schools and our counties to take those dollars and use them for infrastructure as it relates to public education. So, for example, in John Day, they're working on an incubator building, and they're going to partner with the school to have the school be able to assist some of their higher needs children, and then take the remaining space and lease it to private sector businesses and take the revenue from that and be able to use it in the school's budget. And so what we're trying to do is create a partnership between education and economic development through this mechanism.
Thank you very much, Representative Johnson, or Representative Smith. Further discussion on the motion. Representative Johnson.
Two other comments. One is that Senator Corno and I took some time to go through and try to figure out what this agency is doing, and I think this has been one of my principal problems. There are pages and pages of statutes that over the last decade the legislature has heaped onto this agency asking them to perform.
Do you anticipate that the budget report comment, the next to the last item there on page 104, may address that relative to Senate Bill 973?
Yes, it will, and I was advocating on behalf of that.
Thank you. We will take that up tomorrow is my understanding on our current budget or on our current work schedule.
And last but not least, I remain completely dissatisfied with the agency explanation of what happened to $419,000 of public money that was involved in the USG recruitment in my district. I've got no credible explanation, even though promised one by the head of the agency commissioners. Asking me to paw through incomplete records is totally unacceptable, and I just want to be on record as saying this is another in a repeated series of requests for an explanation of what happened to that money.
Okay, it'll be recorded that Representative Johnson will be a no vote on Senate Bill 5510.
No,
you'll be a yes.
I'll provide a courtesy to move it
courtesy
forward.
Courtesy, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Representative Johnson. Any other no votes on the motion to pass Senate Bill 5510 in accordance with the Legislative Fiscal Office's recommendation?
Well, I just wanted to express my concern that this department has not made any performance reports on its performance since 1993 that the statute required them.
Senator Yee, will your Senate Bill 973
address we'll try to address
that. Okay, fine. With that, I have no votes being recorded by any member of the committee. I'm going to go ahead then and gavel passing Senate Bill 5510 as recommended by the Legislative Fiscal Office to the full committee with a due pass recommendation in accordance with the motion made by Representative Patrick. Okay, thank you very much.
Carriers
to the full.
Okay.
To the full, Representative Patrick. To the House.
And I'll be here at the House.
Okay, and to the Senate.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. With that, we will go ahead and adjourn until.
Can we hear Senate Bill 973?
Oh, we could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 973.
Yes. And I have my statement already. If you want me to read it, I'll read it.
We've got full and
two minutes. So I'll just give everybody my written statement.
Is it amended? Can we amend it?
No amendment.
Yes, there is an amendment.
Oh,
Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Why do we need amendments?
Just
a minute, I'll explain.
Okay, it's perfect.
I'll
give
you one more.
Mm-hmm.
You need a whole bunch.
Do you want changes?
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and open up a work session then on Senate Bill 973.
We don't have a quorum.
Oh.
Robin, we also need the Mr. Chairman and Member's letter.
We can get it
later.
Is it not a big deal? Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Senator Yee.
Yes, my testimony.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The amendment?
What's the...
We're without a quorum. We will go ahead and open a work session on 973.
Sure. I think everyone on this committee is aware of 973. Robin, it looks like, has made the recommendation based on LFO to change the funding from lottery funds to general funds in the amount of $75,000. I would move that conceptual amendment into Senate Bill 973.
Representative Caffridge moves the conceptual amendment as proposed by the Legislative Fiscal Office in Senate Bill 973. Are there any objections?
Just a quick question.
Representative Smith?
I thought somewhere I was reading a budget note that
yes,
required.
Yes, at the very bottom of page one, the penultimate paragraph there, last sentence.
So how does the budget
note? Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is not a budget note. That is a comment that I'm asking to have inserted into the budget report that references the concerns of this committee regarding the responsibilities and assignment of the to the economic development and references the legislative review proposed in 973. It is not a budget note.
Okay.
Just one other quick question. How come we didn't do a budget note?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I had a budget note prepared, but when the co-chairs assigned Senate Bill 973 to this committee, it became unnecessary.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, are there any objections to including the recommendation as moved by Representative Patridge into the Senate Bill 973? So ordered. And then Representative Patridge moves 973, Senate Bill 973 to the full committee with due pass recommendation as amended. Any objections?
Mr. Chair, I just want my testimony to be included in the record.
So noted. Representative or Senator Yee requests that her testimony be included in the record. Two pages. So entered. Any objections?
Aye.
We have one yes vote. We have all yes votes. No, no votes. Yeah. With that, Senate Bill 973 is passed. Full committee with due pass recommendation. Senator Yee, you'll carry that to the floor of the Senate. Representative Patridge to the House. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and close this until tomorrow at 10 o'clock evening.